Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, June 20th, 2023. And again, just sort of looking at the question from last Friday's broadcast, is the American Revolutionary slogan, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, biblical? Is it biblical? And my answer is, it depends. Who's in charge? Who decides? As long as God is in charge, as long as the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding, then yes. But particularly these days, it's all too easy to fall into the current of the revolutionary movement that is very oppressive and very ungodly, very anti-God. During the first hour of today's broadcast, we talked a little bit about, or I talked about and sort of unpacked the cliche, the aphorism popularized by G. Michael Hoff in Those Who Remain: hard times create strong men create good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. But I gave the contextual overlayment, the meta context of with God and without God. Without God, we have hard times. Hard times create strong men because they cry out to God, which in turn creates strong men and creates good times because he is close, because he draws near, because we cry out. And then good times create weak men. I mean, we see these cycles in the book of Judges, for example. Good times create weak men because they fall away. Just as we see in Romans chapter 1, as I read during the first hour. And then weak men create hard times, primarily, again, because of the absence of God, because he is not there in all things. And we can, you know, There are the counter arguments to the generalization. The book of Job is perhaps the most notable counter argument. Just like Job's friends said, you know, man, you must have done something wrong. Come on, buddy, just admit it. What did you do? You must have done something wrong. I mean, look what happened. Your whole everything was destroyed. Your kids died. Your flocks died. You look at you. I mean, you're a crusty, pussy mess. You must have done something. What did you do? So that is the counter-argument. But generally speaking, you have Romans 8:28, for example. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. You have Revelation 21:5, Jesus speaking, "Behold, I make all things new." It's the perfect tense in Greek, meaning that he's continually making all things new. Better than new, which reminds me of the stained glass windows that we see particularly in some of the cathedrals. And so when you think of stained glass, I mean, what purpose does it have? What practical application does it have in life? Not much, as far as I can tell. And then you think of broken stained glass. My goodness, what do you do with that? But then you put it together to tell a story, and it's a blessing in generation after generation. You might call it a manifold blessing in a sort of fashion. And in that sense, suddenly it has new meaning and purpose and new life. And so this broken thing was put back together in a way that makes it better than new, essentially. And that is, to me, an illustration of God's character and nature that we read about in Romans 8:28, Revelation 21:5, and other places, demonstrated. You know, that is man's homage to God's character and nature in those passages. You might say, so that is the basis, I think, of the generalization, that with God, even the hardest times are made better, and without God, even the best times are made awful. One example, maybe. So yesterday, we talked about, Mike in Kentucky and I talked about the story of Shema, one of David's mighty men, in the lentil patch or the pea patch in 2 Samuel 23, verse 12 specifically. And, you know, speaking of all of this and what I just said, you know, with God, the worst of times become better, even perhaps bearable, or even better than bearable. And apart from God, the best of times can be awful. David, you know, one of my favorite examples of this is David, the census in 2 Samuel 24. David is confronted, you know, and you see that in verse 10. Now David's heart troubled him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly. When David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, because Samuel had passed away, Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and speak to David. Thus the Lord says, I am offering you three things. Choose for yourself one of them, which I may do to you. And this is what happened. So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land, or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Which is, you know, sort of reminds you of earlier episodes with Saul pursuing him. Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and see what answer I shall return to him who sent me. And David's response was this. Then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. So my takeaway on that is basically David is saying that even the judgment of God is more merciful than the mercy of man. And that, I think, is sort of an illustration, again, of the cliche in the proper context. Hard times create strong men create good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. This cycle is perhaps really sort of predicated on our drawing near or falling away from God. I mentioned in the first hour that I've talked about this in previous broadcasts. I intend to unpack this a little bit more. We'll pause for a minute, go to the phones here in a second, but one of those broadcasts was September 22nd, 2021, and you may recall there was something going on around that time. We were in the middle of something, but there were a bunch of things that I mentioned, the Balkanization subject, what is that? Dividing people amongst themselves. It's been very effective over the last couple of centuries, increasingly effective in this. We talked about, you know, the concept of the eight stages of the rise and fall of civilizations, or the nine stages of civilizations, and you know, the decline and fall of modern civilization as articulated by some folks, these cycles of civilization. So maybe we will revisit that. The idea of the concept of, you know, obviously Martin Niemöller's expression comes to mind. You know, first they came for the socialists, which is a complete reversal of the idea. First they came for the socialists and I did not speak out. You know, it's the opposite, actually. Did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. Then they came for the Jews. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out. No one left to speak for me. This is a very controversial and provocative expression. Anyway, I mentioned eliminationism, the 10 stages of genocide, incitement to genocide, the inchoate offense. And, you know, we have all kinds of other accompanying ideas, some of which we've talked about in recent months and, you know, during the same time. Ableism, for example, which is a parallel conversation. And how we're being dehumanized. Speaking of the pronouns, nothing is more dehumanizing than the discussion of pronouns, and no pronoun is more dehumanizing than it. It's the most politically correct pronoun, just it. Let's call each other it. And one of the first things you do when you want to wage war against a people is you dehumanize them. Another parallel concept is Kevin Dutton's The Wisdom of Psychopaths. We used to prosecute and put in prison psychopaths, or sometimes they got the death penalty. But now we can learn from, you know, according to Kevin Dutton, The Wisdom of Psychopaths, what saints, spies, and serial killers can teach us about success. And again, when you start going down that rabbit hole, you bump into Philip Zimbardo and the Lucifer effect, based on the Stanford Prison Experiment, understanding how good people turn evil. And then, of course, R.J. Rummel's book, Death by Government, Chapter 2, The Definition of Democide. Genocide, among other things, the killing of people by a government because of their indelible group membership, race, ethnicity, religion, language. Democide is the murder of any person or people by a government, including genocide, politicide, and mass murder, which he also defines politicide and mass murder. So democide is an all-encompassing term. Anyway, enough on that for the moment. Let's go to the phones and grab Mike in Kentucky. Mike, thanks for calling. Welcome.
There we go. Now I'm on.
Good morning.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, to quote Mr. Truman. I think it's, yeah, it's 15 afternoon where I'm at. But so I don't remember exactly the lyrics, but music is incredible propaganda. From the 1980s, you had policeman puts on his uniform, likes to have a gun just to keep him warm, because the violence here is a social norm. You got to humanize yourself. And then it goes into Billy's joined a national front. He always was a little, well, I'll say runt. You know, and it goes into he wants to join, like, the Russian front or something like that. So atrocity propaganda is something I'd forgotten about and ran into a memory that I'd shared from Republic Broadcasting from something like 7 years ago, and for whatever reason, it wasn't censored by the fact checkers because they can't censor it. It's from a book that was, I think, published in the mid-50s, but it quotes a couple of letters written by this assistant minister to both, I think, the BBC and clergy in England, saying they have to save themselves and the Bolsheviks by using atrocity propaganda to distract from the massive killings that was done by the Russians and whoever their lackeys throughout the Eastern Europe, you know, theater by the tunes of dozens and dozens of millions, you know, a Holodomor is what it's called nowadays, I think. But one of the pieces that you kind of see in that light as propaganda is the famous quote from Winston Churchill, which can be used either way, where, you know, if you will not fight when victory is more sure, then eventually you may have to fight when it is better to fight and die than to live as a slave. But our Bible right. tells us, you know, if you're to go into captivity, you're going to go into captivity.
Right. And that's been the overarching point for sure, absolutely.
I just don't want to be, I don't want to find out whether I have the patience of Job or not. I'd rather avoid that test for sure. I mean, and how do you manipulate the situation to avoid being tested like that? I mean, you have to see the light and turn toward, you know, put your loyalties where you would be in the world and not of the world. You know, be willing to lose everything like Job did, I guess, somehow convincing the Most High not to test you that way. I don't think I have the patience of Job, and maybe that, you know, he would know that, so he doesn't bring me to such a test. But you're saying it depends on the situation, I guess, and who's in charge. I think to a certain extent we are in charge, but when we submit ourselves to his will, then we have to hope that we are steered rather than just go through life like a Plinko chip, bumping off walls, which I've certainly felt like that for large portions of my life. No matter what I try, I get deflected away from it, from what I'd like to do, be it, you know, computer programming or whatever, certain other things. I run into brick walls and I can't, or a Plinko peg knocks me a different direction. If you couch yourself in that mentality, not my will, but thy will, I think be prepared to hold out hope that you're being bounced in the right direction. Mm-hmm. If resistance, you know, is in order, you will be allowed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we know? I mean, all we can do is, it's not in the Bible. Ours is not the reason why. Ours is but to live and die. I mean, you can probably find congruent scriptures or verses that seem to line up with that concept. I don't know. But,
some people might argue, I think that was that Tennyson, the Light Brigade, I think. I'm mixing stuff, but Romans 13 is obviously a controversial passage that comes to mind, especially with our American Revolutionary DNA.
Well, when does authority lose authority, and when do they become bearing the sword in vain, you know? Power does not necessarily, is not always congruent with authority. You know, Goliath had a lot of power. But he lost his authority pretty quick, had his head cut off.
Yeah, by a very young man. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Welcome back. So there are passages, you know, the citation you mentioned was, is Tennyson. It's, from the Charge of the Light Brigade, theirs is not to make reply, theirs is not to reason why, theirs is but to do and die. And, you know, I think, like I said, I think Romans 13 is one of the parallel. You know, like you said, obviously Tennyson is not biblical, but the concept, you know, you see, I think in Romans 12, Romans 13, I was mentioning, you know, Romans 12, never pay back evil for evil to anyone, respect what is right in the sight of all men, if it is possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In fact, Jesus himself said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Today I give you a new command, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you or spitefully use you, depending on your translation. Paul, references Proverbs But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that, to me, is kind of the central overriding concept looking at this idea. Because the revolutionary impulse, basically it's the idea that we've heard from, you know, it's the Rumsfeldian idea that sometimes, you know, to do good we have to cooperate and collaborate with people we wouldn't want as our neighbor, or, you know, sometimes we have to become the evil we fight kind of nonsense, which is ridiculous.
Well, didn't he tell them to go buy two swords? I mean, to protect the whatever their purse, you know, because they were told to not take purse or scrip, but to travel around, you know, and wherever they weren't accepted, they would dust their feet off and go on, you know, and they would not finish going through all the towns of Judea before the Son of Man comes. But then they had a purse to protect, so he told them to buy two swords. And, of course, Peter used one of those to cut the ear off of whoever was coming to get Jesus, yeah. Which he then healed.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't know. There's, in the moment, if you're couched, I guess, schooled, like, what does it say? Teach a child up in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it when he becomes old. But in the heat of the moment, things happen, don't they? And you feel that something is righteous. You know, that's a name that's used by police, you know, when they have a killing or they have a shooting. You know, they assure themselves that it was a righteous killing. You know, but you can imagine situations, I guess, where you've got somebody coming out of a crack house hopped up and they're filled full of holes by the police, and they keep on coming and keep on shooting. You would have to argue that shooting was, quote, righteous. But we deal in day-to-day in much more, I guess, harder to discern situations, like what, for instance, and I can't tell if William Binney is a Christian at all, listening to dozens, if not hundreds, of hours of his musings on, and a year ago he basically expanded on the idea that the entire legal system of the United States has been scrapped. Our ability to do free association without fear of it all going into our X key score file, you know, the several aspects of the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment to be secure, and our personal papers in effect from unlawful seizure, that's all gone. Fifth Amendment, you know, self-incrimination. If you're gathering everything about everyone that you can, then where's the Fifth Amendment? It's gone. Sixth Amendment's even dented pretty badly.
Well, I would argue that it was all subsumed by the administrative fourth branch, and we saw that in the Erie Railroad. Decision.
Well, late 1940s, it got turbocharged. Police manuals I got from Jack, what was his name, the Aid and Abet newsletter. He sent me a three-quarter inch thick packet when I subscribed for 6 months to his newsletter of police manuals from the late 1940s, where they're actually openly saying amongst themselves, we need to convert every aspect of American life into a government-granted privilege, license.
Right, and that concept dates back even further, obviously, and really into antiquity. I mean, the legal concept of administrative Roman civil law, that is ministerial.
So by our silence, we consent to this, and yeah. We're on the hook by keeping silent.
And the flip occurs. We're guilty until proven innocent.
Well, we are guilty until we stop keeping silent about this.
Yep. Thank you, Mike. Much appreciated. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
What, the truth? You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, June 20th, 2023. I mentioned the cycles. You know, we talked about the aphorism and the nine cycles generally refers to Alexander Fraser Tytler's nine cycles. It's often referred to, in fact, as the Tytler cycle. And he is the guy who is quoted as saying, you know, often erroneously attributed to de Tocqueville, a democracy is always temporary in nature, it simply cannot exist, et cetera, et cetera. We'll come back to the Tytler cycle. In the interest of time, back to the phones. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
I apologize, Rhonda.
No, it's okay.
You called earlier.
I was just sitting here looking at the garden. I'm fine. I was just, you know, actually some of the things you said made me kind of modify what I was going to say anyway, so that was good. So you're saying it's resistance to tyranny, obedience to God?
That was the question that Mike raised on Friday's broadcast. Is that slogan, the you know, American Revolutionary slogan in a sense, is that biblical? And my answer is it depends.
Well, I think so, and it depends on how you resist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't, to the best of your ability. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of indoctrination in the schools, but don't buy into the lies. That's one thing. And don't allow yourself to be ruled by fear. That's another one. That's a big one. That's how they get people to do things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the fear of the thing, not the actual thing. Most often that we're seeing is weaponized. You know, I mean, we saw that through COVID, I think. It was the fear of the thing, the threat of the thing, whether it was the thing itself being COVID or the injunctive, impunitive measures that were threatened that that cowed people.
Yeah, I sent you, I don't know if you saw it or not, either the documentary or the email. But I sent you, I watched a really good documentary, The Great Awakening. It was released June 3rd, 2023. It's on YouTube. But there was, it was very interesting. It featured G. Edward Griffin. And the really amazing part to me was, it was, I guess the person that put it together was, his name was Mickey Willis. You seen it?
I have not seen that, but, you know, obviously we're familiar with Mickey Willis's work in recent years, the Plandemic series, for example.
Yeah, I emailed that to you, and excellent, excellent documentary, because it talks, they have G. Edward Griffin on a screen in the 1970s. Well, first of all, he talks about a lot of the stuff, subjects you cover on your broadcast, but they were playing... like a presentation that G. Edward Griffin was giving back in the 70s, and it could have been done today. I was like, what? It's like the guy had a crystal ball or something. But no, he just knew from a young age. He said he studied communism because he was wondering what it was all about. But anyway, it goes through the whole how they start out with socialism, then it leads to communism, and you know, how they rule by fear, and then they show all these people who are you know, tyrannical, like Trudeau, Biden, you know, all the leaders out there, the people, you know, that one group of people, you say they're trained to be governors and stuff. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, yeah, these people are just people, and you know, you know, that was an experiment, the COVID thing, you know, snapped their, you know, they just expect people to go along with it. And it was, look how many people who did and why, you know. But very good documentary. If people want to watch it, they can do a search for the Great Awakening documentary released June 3rd, 2023. But one of the other things he points out in there is, like, these immigrants, right? These people who are legitimately here for a reason. There was a lady they interviewed. She was part of the Falun Gong, and she was being tortured. And she said she was without hope. She was like, I don't know, they say like within an inch of your life, but she knew she wasn't going to make it unless she did something. So she said she prayed, and one of the people that was torturing her fainted, and then the beating stopped, which I found, I was like, wow, that's very cool. But, yeah, so I think it depends on how you resist. It needs still be, you know, in obedience to God in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're, wait. But the other thing they mentioned I thought was interesting is that they said the people who work with their hands or are working out in nature are the most difficult to control. They can't be indoctrinated, right, as easily as people who have been highly educated, like you mentioned in your broadcast before. So, Yeah.
And the
anyway.
The irony is that it is it creates a sort of inverse proportionality along the lines of the Dunning-Kruger effect, I would say, where the highly educated people are absolutely convinced, and you can't do anything to convince them otherwise, that they know what's going on, and the people who are working in the dirt with their hands are just humble and unassuming,
yeah,
and not trying
and
to
grounded
impose anything.
And mm-hmm. They know what's real, they know what's important, they know where our food source comes from. You know, they're more thankful for the food because they know that God created it, you know, and it's by him that we're even fed, you know. I mean, he provides yeah. everything. Yeah, so
and not,
anyway.
And not all kind of sort of caught up in their own head about, you know, should we do this or should we do, you know. They basically, the aphorism is, you know, preparing for rain. If you farm, for example, you prepare for rain. You do the things mm-hmm. you're supposed to do, and then you just trust God that he will do his part.
Right.
You
and,
don't sit around worrying about, you know, well, maybe if we – you just do your part, and then he – you count on him to do his part.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And a key thing, too, is I had never – I don't watch the news, but they did show some of this nonsense, and, you know, they grouped a bunch of the I got the shot and a free meal at McDonald's. Or, you know, my name was put in the lottery to win $5 million in California or something. You know, just ridiculousness. And then, you know, like you've all talked about before, is unplugged from the television because it is all theater. It's not real. It's what they want you to believe. It's crazy. I mean, I was just shocked at the way he compiled all those news clips. So highly recommend people watch that. It's not something you would want to, like, you know, some videos you want to move for, you know, fast forward and get to the good part. No, it's all good. It's all good and all interesting. But I emailed it to you, Chris, should you want to watch it.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
I have not seen it yet. And one of these days, maybe we can unpack that a little bit. It is a star studded cast, you might say, and
go ahead. Sorry.
I think they renamed it Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. It was originally titled The Great Awakening, and I wonder if that has anything to do. There was actually another documentary that was released back in 2020 titled The Great Awakening, Spiritual Revival in Colonial America.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing is, he talks a lot about what you're talking about, the subject matter right now. So I was like, mm-hmm. I wonder if you'd watched it. But no, it's interesting, you know, how people think the same things at certain times. So
mm-hmm.
anyway, so anybody wants to watch it, just do a search for that. Excellent, highly recommended. Well done.
Very
cool. All right,
cool.
Chris, thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thank you, Rhonda. You as well.
Okay. All right, bye.
And thanks for your patience also. Much appreciated. Back to the phones in the interest of time. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I was wondering, you mentioned obedience, you know, resistance against tyrants. Excuse me. Obedience to God. That was the idea that you were trying to examine. So my question is, if Edward Bernays and the boys tell us to go fight so-and-so tyranny, is that obedience to God, you see?
Exactly, yeah. That's exactly my point. So the answer obviously is no.
Gee,
and that's what United States military service amounts to in the modern era, for sure, if not beyond.
Yeah, but they get away with it, and I think was the last caller. It also depends on how we resist, what mode. It's resistance, but is it resistance that's going to make us more unchristian, let's say, than otherwise. That would be an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I was a quick look at Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Mm-hmm.
Some say he was not entirely Christian. He was a deist type, pantheist type thing.
Yeah.
So I would beware of the poets because many of them were pagans, actually.
Absolutely.
Some did convert, but they used the poets to sell their war pots and pans type things. Those were my thoughts, and I'll let you go.
Much appreciated, sir, as always.
All right. Bye now.
Thank you. I will add, you know, ironically, Snopes has an entry written by David Emery, published April 9, 2023, who said rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. The quote has been ascribed to both Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. It's possible that neither came up with it himself. And this hints at, you know, this belies deeper motives. And again, I think it hints at what I would just say constitutes a theosophical influence. And it's actually a pretty thought-provoking article by David Emery. maybe we could close with a little bit of that. The stirring motto, rebellion to or against tyrants is obedience to God, is often shared on social media, though it seems there is some confusion over its origin, sometimes ascribed to Jefferson, others attribute the quote to Franklin. So who really said or wrote those words first? As we learned in the process of untangling its roughly 250-year history, both Jefferson and Franklin had a hand in promulgating the saying. Of the two, Franklin was more likely its originator, though it's possible neither came up with it. Here's what we found in our investigation. Thomas Jefferson. One reason Jefferson has always been so closely associated with the motto is that he was part of a three-man committee, along with Franklin and John Adams, delegated by the Continental Congress to create and design the Great Seal of the United States of America. The design Jefferson et al. Submitted included, on one side, the words, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. And there's an image of the proposed Great Seal that's included. Though the proposal was rejected by Congress, Jefferson so loved the motto that he also proposed it for the Great Seal of Virginia and later enshrined it on his personal seal. The oldest known example of which is on the wax seal of a letter he wrote in 1790. He also had it inscribed on a gate in the graveyard of his home, Monticello. Lastly, scholars have found the motto in Jefferson's handwritten notes. Quote, and never, never forget that rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God, end quote, he wrote in 1776. But those words weren't his own. They were part of his transcription of an item published in December 1775 in Pennsylvania, in the Pennsylvania Evening Post, the item known as as Bradshaw's epitaph was described as follows. The following inscription was made out 3 years ago on the cannon near which the ashes of President Bradshaw were lodged on the top of a hill on the top of a high hill near Martha Bray in Jamaica to avoid the rage against the regicides exhibited at the Restoration. The President Bradshaw referred to was John Bradshaw, a prominent English jurist who was appointed Lord President of the High Court of Justice to oversee the trial and beheading of King Charles I, and who was convicted of tyranny and treason in 1649. Some had doubts about the authenticity of Bradshaw's epitaph, however, most notably Jefferson himself. He added this note at the bottom of his handwritten transcript. quote, from many circumstances, there is reason to believe there does not exist any such inscription as the above, and that it was written by Dr. Franklin, in whose hand it was first seen, end quote. Jefferson apparently thought it plausible that Franklin wrote the epitaph himself, which also implies that Franklin could have been the true author of Rebellion to Tyrants' Obedience to God, end quote. Many historians, and then Franklin, many historians think it plausible that Franklin was the true author as well. A copy of the document on the Founders Online website, a project of the U.S. National Archives, bears the title Bradshaw's Epitaph, A Hoax Attributed to Franklin. I'll finish when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. A parallel concept and discussion is, of course, the Latin phrase, sic semper tyrannis, thus always to tyrants. And you see folks like John Wilkes Booth and Timothy McVeigh and others making use of this variation of rebellions to tyrants as obedience to God, this variation from, again, from antiquity. And so just to finish, David Emery's "Who Said Rebellion to Tyrants is Obedience to God?" The quote has been ascribed to both Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. It's possible that neither came up with it himself. If you listened through my reading of the Thomas Jefferson section, and you know, for example, that Jefferson himself was a sort of Adam Weishaupt sympathizer, then there are some curious coincidences of timing in all of this. And motivation. The six illuminized points, for example, come to mind with regicide and this wholesale, widespread resistance to tyranny concept. The again, sic semper tyrannis sort of concept. So skipping ahead, in the interest of time, because we're about at the end of today's broadcast, you can read the Snopes entry yourself by David Emery, "Who Said Rebellion to Tyrants is Obedience to God." Just to conclude from the end of David Emery's article, to summarize, Jefferson's beloved motto was not authored by him, but may have been secretly authored by Franklin, who first showed it to Jefferson and to whom Bradshaw's epitaph has long been attributed. On the other hand, it may be the case that Franklin didn't write it either, and that it originated not as a hoax, but as an earnest tribute to a historical figure whose opposition to tyranny aligned with the ideals of the American Revolution. Or it may have originated some other way. Barring the emergence of more definitive evidence, we might never know the full and true history of the quote. And so, how ironic that this... You have to think about these guys. Why would someone as erudite as Jefferson use a phrase not knowing its origin? Such a profound and provocative phrase, which I think hints at the Illuminized World Revolutionary Movement. That's kind of the final word for today's broadcast on the subject. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.